Hey everybody, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys, ordinarily a podcast covering the original Transformers animated series from three different perspectives: the lifelong fan, the lapsed but returning fan, and the clueless outsider. But currently, turning the tables and doing a side journey into Robotech. We'll be covering the series episode by episode, also digging into the production and cultural impact of the show. My name is Ed, that lifelong fan, joined here as usual with the other
Please.
Armstrong brothers. And Evan, what's going on, guys?
What's up? Man, what a we got a treat today on episode 7, Bye Bye Mars.
Bye bye Mars. This was a cool one. What? Now nobody has anything, any goof off time? What's going on
Oh
here?
no. I actually wanted to bring up Jehu brought up earlier that he's you got to opine about Luke Spencer and Meathead.
Well,
I got it here.
I know Ed's a little younger than me,
Not by
and
much, not by much.
what?
Not by just like a year or so, I think.
Like a couple years, but and so Evan, I'm assuming you may be too, but I was born early enough that I still have memories of the 70s. You know, they're not all sharp, but. If there were three things I remembered about the 70s, Star Wars, duh, All in the Family, and General Hospital. And if those are the things you remember from the 70s, today was a bad day, man. Rob Reiner, who most people know more as the director, but was a big TV star in the 70s as Mike Meathead on All in the Family. And Luke Spencer, who's basically, Anthony Geary is the actor's name, but he's basically the Hulk Hogan of wrestling. Not that he was secretly a horrible person, but in that if you hated soap operas, if you actively tried to not know anything about soap operas, you still probably knew who Luke and Laura were.
The Luke died?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Him and Robert Scorpio are in heaven solving mysteries together again.
Man, Robert Scorpio, man, God. Robert Scorpio is the absolute coolest name of all time.
Oh yeah.
And I'll never hear anything to the contrary. That's the best name. And I know we like you've not talked about ripping that off for a dumb hardcore band at some point, and it's still the best idea for a hardcore band name. It's in the vein of like when people were calling bands like Charles X Bronson and Yaphet X Kodo and all those.
Meanwhile, you have Victor Newman's going to be a pump full of more formaldehyde and keep going.
That guy has been doing that role for over 40 years,
Who is this?
nonstop.
Victor Newman. Who's Richard Newman? Who's that?
Victor Newman,
Victor.
he's a character on The Young and the Restless. His real name is Eric Braeden.
Oh,
You might
you'd
know
recognize
him
him.
from, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a really bad horror movie starring Eric Roberts that is set in the Marvel bullpen.
What? Wait.
Yeah, it's starring Eric Roberts. He works in the Marvel bullpen, but it's ambulance based. Yes.
What
The
the
horror
God?
happens in an ambulance. I'm doing a terrible job of describing this, but I swear it exists. I'm
You're piquing
pretty sure Stan
interest.
Lee cameos. Like, that's hard to get.
I think you're making this up, man. This is
I
ridiculous.
swear I'm not.
Oh
When did
no,
this come
this
out? What,
has
like,
to
what,
be true.
when did this come out?
1990.
Something? Okay.
It's
While we're talking, I'm gonna look this up because
it's
this is
so
insane.
ridiculous, it has to be true.
But yeah, it was just funny because, when I wanted to talk to people about my love of Rob Reiner and All in the Family, and I really do think All in the Family is underrated. It was such a big deal in the 70s.
I mean, we watched reruns of that, man.
And it was crazy because, my mom watched it and Mike and Gloria were the protagonists. My grandpa watched it and Archie Bunker was the protagonist. You know what I'm saying? Like it was written in a way to where even though you were getting talked down to, if you were Archie Bunker's generation, you still didn't feel that way. You could still be part of the joke. And if you watch it, man, it's actually kind of a bummer how much of the issues it goes up with are still relevant
Oh
today.
yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
Rob Reiner's
oh,
character.
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember like seeing that show on, and just it was one of those things that it was like grown-ups are watching this, so this is not for me. But
Right.
in reruns, in the 80s, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty funny. That movie is called The Ambulance.
It's okay. I knew there was an ambulance involved. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just called The Ambulance. It also stars James Earl Jones.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
also
The voice of the body.
Stan Lee, noted fraud Stan Lee of
It's a top tier, low tier movie.
Wow.
But yeah, so when I wanted to talk to people about Rob Reiner today, it was easy to find them. But when I wanted to talk about Anthony Geary, Luke Spencer, I was forced to call my mom.
Oh,
I
huh.
just had to call my mom. It's like, Mom, did you hear that Meathead and Luke Spencer died today? And then we talked about that.
How's your mom holding up with all that? She's a big soap opera fan also, correct?
Well, I mean, I got it from my grandmother and my mom, which was they were warring because my grandma did CBS soaps or mom
Oh.
did ABC soaps.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm so cultured on the soap operas. Because usually,
Oh.
that's another thing I was talking about today. People don't, this is, if you're under 30, this is such a foreign concept. But
Oh,
people
yeah.
used to have channels. Like you were a CBS house where, your mom would watch CBS soaps that would lead into your dad watching CBS news. And maybe you didn't watch all CBS shows, but they got first right of approval. You
Oh
would
yeah.
check out the CBS shows first.
Well, no, I was an ABC sitcom guy in the
Right,
80s.
right.
Those were my favorite sitcoms because
Yeah.
they had the Murderer's Row sitcoms back then.
Right. I
They
was an
had Who's the
NBC
Boss
sitcom.
and Growing Pains
Yeah.
and yeah, they had a ton, but then like
Yeah.
NBC, they had was it Family Ties, and you're like,
Right.
oh, okay.
Well, you also
I mean,
NBC had
definitely.
Cheers, right? I
What's up?
hit the teen years right when Cheers was starting to happen. And that's a
Yeah.
great thing to, it's like, oh, now I'm an NBC person
That's
because this is
exactly, yeah.
where, and Night Court, where they
Oh
talk
God,
about
yes.
boobies.
Right. Oh,
Yeah.
that was yeah, that was yeah, that was a champion show. That was
Night
good,
Court is exactly what a 12-year-old thinks adulthood is like.
yeah. Oh yeah.
Like they just think
100%.
it's all like innuendos, and
And Brent
and when you
Spiner
watch them as an
cameos.
adult, that's like nothing Dan Fielding talks about is actually what that's like.
No.
Right.
Not at all.
But as a child, you're like, oh yeah, that's what it's like to be a sleazy pervo adult.
Yeah.
He's kind of the proto version of like Barney Stinson.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, which is cool. I like Night Court because that there was always a punk rocker hanging out in the courtroom that had a leather
Right.
jacket that said "The core has gotten soft" on the back of it, and
Right.
I've been known to write that as graffiti in my life,
Yeah.
and so now that the cat's out of the bag, I can't ever do that again.
Right.
Not that at 50 years of age, I'm doing a whole lot of graffiti, but still,
I also watched a lot of Night Court.
Oh yeah, good show.
I thought a Markie Post was my bag. I thought she was a pretty lady. I thought that hairdo was pretty damn cool. Looking back on it, maybe
Not
not.
cool. No, it's not cool.
That hairdo does look like, though, it looks like Arthur Adams drew it.
It does look like she does look like O'Brien from Lucky Man and O'Brien a little bit
Right.
with that hairdo.
But anyways, yeah, just wanted to give an RIP to Rob Reiner and Anthony Geary, both
Yeah,
big figures in my childhood.
those are big ones. Those are big ones. So
I mean, they were kind of the pillars of 70s television. I would say check on J.R. Ewing, but he's already dead.
He's already dead. He's already, yeah. He was more of a, well, I mean, I do kind of like transcended a lot of stuff because he was like a big in the 60s, and then he became an even like a sensation
And I
in
mean, Dallas was huge in both the 70s and the 80s.
yeah. You
Like,
know
Who
what?
Shot J.R. didn't even happen till like 84 or something
Yeah.
like that.
I think it was like 81, I think. It was
Maybe it was. Maybe you're
maybe a
right.
little
Yeah.
earlier than
Huh?
that. But Yeah, well, you know why it was so
You know,
big in the 70s, 80s? Because it was good. It
yes.
was a really good
Yes,
show.
it was a really good show. I always say the pilot of that show is more mean-spirited than Game of Thrones.
Oh, dude, there's
Like
some.
it is so they're like it they soften some of the characters as it goes on, but in the first few episodes, there's no redeemable characters.
Well, they
Like
definitely have the shoulder pads for armor, like the Game of Thrones,
yeah, they
right?
definitely do.
Some jagged ones.
A mutual friend of Jehu and I is Steve. He called Game of Thrones Fantasy Dallas for a long time, which is absolutely like accurate.
One
It kind of
hundred percent
works.
correct.
Yeah. So yeah. You know what else is correct is saying goodbye to Mars.
Which
Bye-bye,
you
Mars.
know would be a great title for a band if 30 Seconds to Mars didn't exist.
You know, the world would be better if 30 Seconds to Mars didn't exist also, but
Underage girls in Los Angeles would be better if 30 Seconds to Mars didn't exist.
Phantom
Higher.
Planet would be a lot better if they didn't exist too, because
Yeah. And I gotta throw in here a little like my own little thing in here. Like I talked a lot about that on Transformers episodes, and I'm a big fan of the show Exo Squad. They also had a big Mars centric where Mars goes bye bye story arc in there too.
Oh, did they?
So yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
But yeah, it's completely different circumstances. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah. So this is episode 7 of Robotech: The Macross Saga. Bye bye Mars. We get into this. We get into the intro again, which we're contractually obligated to say that the intro is the most banging intro of a
Oh yeah.
cartoon.
I never don't enjoy it.
I have to watch it every time.
Yeah.
Today I noticed that there's a funny part towards the end of it though, where Lisa Hayes does like a little hair flip. She does like a little
Right.
this little hair flip, which is pretty cool because she's got those like it kind of curls under
Yeah.
like her hair looks like two honey buns.
She definitely has, which fits with her character, the most conservative hair in this
Oh
show,
yeah.
which is still crazy outlandish,
Oh
but.
yeah, but I mean she's got like a mom hair, like mom
Yeah.
hair.
Oh,
That's like 80s mom hair, a complete 80s mom hair.
she has a whole mom vibe, dude.
She does have a mom, even though she's like 23. She's
Yeah.
like
Anyways.
the old sourpuss
The old
town.
sourpuss. They're talking about the STF is going to try to land at deserted outpost base Sarah.
Mars Base Sarah. Mars Base Sarah is really cool looking. It's really nice. And it's I guess we get some background that it was deserted because of the global civil war. That was like a listening post basically. And but it was like a city. I think it was massive. And it's pretty cool. We get some cool stuff going on with the Zentradi, where Britai is he's calling in one of his henchmen. He's calling in. Here we go. We get the intro of Chiron, the backstabber. He's a dude that's so reckless that he blows his own dudes up and wipes out whole squadrons of his own guys.
But also a drunkard. He doesn't just do it because of duplicity. He does it because he imbibes.
But yeah, because yeah, they said he got drunk and did that. Yeah, so and he's the leader of the Batoru Battalion, which
Also, I watched this scene on three different formats
okay.
and got because I was trying to figure out one thing they were saying, and I got three different captions. Were they saying backstabber
Yeah.
or black stabber or black adder? Because I got all three of
Oh
those.
yeah. Well, I mean, Black Adder would be that. I mean, that's like Mr. Bean, isn't that Mr. Bean?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool if he was the Black Adder.
Because I first heard black stabber, so I was like, okay, I need captions for this. But then the caption said backstabber, but I was like, I don't believe this. So I watched a different one that said black stabber, and then I watched yet a different one that said black adder.
Adder. Okay.
Well,
I
basically what
mean,
I'm saying is we just don't care about the death. No.
no, they absolutely don't. But a Black
Yeah.
Stabber though sounds like a metal band name. That
It
sounds
does.
like a really like C grade like Black Sabbath ripoff.
Right. Well, I was gonna kind of say it probably sounds like it sounds more like Norwegian black metal and with a poor translation.
Right. Yeah, kind of does.
Black Stabber, I love you.
Oh
Hey,
man,
yo,
yeah.
he has major frat boy energy.
This dude
When
comes
we meet
out.
Chiron, A, he's more of a dandy than anyone we've met so far.
Oh, he is a beautiful man.
And
Beautiful in private.
B, immediately more fun than anybody we've met.
Oh,
I
God, yes.
immediately want to just drop the rest of the show and see the adventure on Chiron's ship.
Dude, he came out of Spacefold and crashed like five ships into like the other Zentradi fleet, and apparently it was a bet to see how many they could crash into. And he got in trouble. He got in trouble for intentionally crashing the ships. And but there's a part where he's arguing with Britai. Britai is like deploying his battle group or whatever, and he does like an anime face. He did like a cutesy like the squinty eyes and the wave. Like
Yeah,
he should.
the first thing he does is wave.
This dude, oh, this dude's amazing. Like I'm totally down for this guy. He's
I
great.
forgot how much I loved Skyrim until he showed up. You kind of get into the show, and the show's really intense and a lot of stuff going on. And then Chiron comes in like a wrecking ball and just makes it so much fun
Right.
immediately.
But he's a menace though, is the thing.
Oh,
And
yes.
he's also like dangerously competent, as we'll see in a few minutes. But yeah, this is but it's so cool to see him though.
That's what he's kind of like. He's kind of like competent Starscream.
Absolutely is competent Starscream. He's like Destro almost, like
Right,
yeah.
right.
Like yeah, I mean he's I guess he's kind of the Darth Vader to Britai's Emperor, sort of.
Yeah.
But
Ooh,
then
maybe.
there's another guy that's above Britai though. So I don't he I guess he's like kind of like Darth Maul, I guess. Like 'cause he's
Right.
cool, you know, and let's just hope he doesn't get cut in half in like next episode. So spoiler, he does
He
not get
does.
cut in half in this episode. But
Dude, and
we get
like, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna go into the next scene. We get a unless you had something to add on to
No, I was just saying,
no, the
like,
pan
next
out
scene
about
is great
Britai.
because it immediately gets explodey. We just go right into explodey.
It's
It
a
like,
quick battle. It's a quick
yeah.
battle, but it's super cool, and it's just it's one of those things where I say all the time, like, man, you know, I wish that like the Tuna episode had a little space battle thrown in. This was just like, let's just throw a space battle in here. We're just
Right.
gonna throw a space battle in just to have some space stuff going on, and it was cool. It was a very cool battle.
And the episodes up to now, I completely remembered all the music in them. But this one had this like sort of like post-punk meets shred like music in it that
Yeah,
I
it
did
did.
not remember at
I
all,
didn't
and it
remember
was
this
awesome.
either. And it gets cooler later on. There's a cool part later on that we'll touch on with the music too. But yeah, this was a very cool battle. But what's weird about like they keep getting blown up. There's like scenes where Rick's flying and like you can see like his wingmen just getting taken out left and right.
Right. And
But
he says very calmly under his breath, "I could be next.
I could be next. I could
I
be so
could be
yeah.
next."
The reality of war setting in for
Like,
Rick.
you could.
You could have been
Maybe
first.
have a little energy in that.
Right. Yeah.
But
Don't be next.
I like this tactic though. The Zentradi are essentially trying to wear down the space fortress STF-1. Because that's exactly what they do. They're doing these constant small battles just to keep the pilots out there and keep them tired. It's a good strategy, honestly, if you got the men to throw. It's like throwing enough stuff just to wear down the enemy.
Which is
It's
that's exactly the plot of like I
yeah.
think the third episode of New Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
They were
Yeah,
where they were attacking every like 27 minutes or whatever it was. So which is cool because I love that episode and like I said in episode one of this that like I think New Battlestar really draws from Robotech. But
100.
so like Rick lands and he like Roy's and he even comments on how hey I'm exhausted from all these sorties we're flying, like I'm worn out, which,
Right.
same, just this, kind of the BSG thing. But so Roy tells him to go down to the city and walk around. He goes and walks around for a couple minutes, and then there's like one of the bridge crew of the PA talking about how hey, we got attacked and our fighters blew them all up and no losses and
Propaganda. Right.
yeah, this was cool because Rick runs into Min Mei and he gets upset about it. He's like, they're lying, and she doesn't care. She's whatever.
No,
Just be
because
happy. Just be happy we won, And but I thought that was cool, and I think it was a thing that I wish that they touched on a little bit more, like in the series, because I don't know that they revisit that theme of like covering up what's actually going on, because it's a cool
I
thing. It's a cool thing to get
here
into.
here's what I got from this scene, and I know we try to keep it kind of apolitical. We don't want to alienate anybody, but Min May 100% could get a job in the Trump warehouse, a
Oh
White
yeah.
House.
Oh
She's
yeah.
underage, she's hot, and her feelings are that, hey, if the news bums people out, let's just don't tell them the news.
Just change the news.
Right. Just
Just
change
change it.
the news.
Just change it. Like,
I
yeah, just
this
have
is
a
the
party.
episode where I started to think, okay, I hate Min Mei.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was already there, but I'm glad you're there now too. She's like this, and what in sorry, in Jehu terms, this broad don't care about anything important.
She does not. She does not. I bet she got some
She
good
is a
training.
ditzy broad.
She is.
She is. Oh. So we cut back to the bridge, and we've got this one of the infamous screens here of they're scanning Mars base, and the text on the computer screen is, if mice could swim, they would float with the tide and play with the fish down by the seaside. The cats on the shore would quickly agree.
That sounds like some weird beat poetry, man.
I think a few weeks ago you told us about a indie wrestler who had a finish called that.
Sir, that's Zack Sabre Jr.,
Yeah, Zack Sabre Jr. That's what
the former world heavyweight champion of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I'm
So what's funny about that is that there's an ISBN, like a international like book serial number on the screen with this, which brings up the book If Mice Could Fly by John Cameron, which was published in the 1970s. It was a British children's book. So that's where that text is from. So, but yeah, I would. I mean, I would invent like a rear naked choke variant with an arm lock and just and call it If Mice Could Swim, They Would Float with the Tide and Play with the Fish Down by the Seaside.
That's
Hey.
amazing. Dude, okay, so they're saying like there's a message from Sarah Bass, and Lisa's like, oh. But then we go into this whole like flashback with Lisa and with her boyfriend Reber.
Kyle Reber, yeah.
Kyle Reber looks like
Is it
he's
Kyle or
20.
Carl? Kyle?
I think it's canonically I'm pretty sure that it's Kyle. But well, no, I don't wait. I don't know.
I think
That's
it's
I mean,
Carl.
I
I don't know
don't
for
know.
sure. All I know is in my notes, I have written Carl is a dud.
He was very much like the fake version of Rick Hunter in the
Right.
face
Oh
and
yeah, the hair and everything.
so.
And Lisa looks like she's 12 here, and he looks like he's 20.
Yeah, there's some bad messages as far as age differential and minors in this show, definitely.
I mean,
She's
it is
legitimate.
Japan. I mean, like,
Right.
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that
Also,
it is Carl. It is Carl Reber. You're right. Okay.
Carl slash Kyle, I will give him this. His 70s outfit in this is better than Rick's 70s outfit.
Oh
It was a
yeah,
good
70s.
70s.
It
He
was a
looks
good
more like
70s.
Reuben Kincaid in this than Rick does.
Actually, he kind of looks like, you know, the classic Battlestar Galactica, that kind of like white overcoat thing. It kind of has that look to it. So even cooler, a little throwback.
Also, Kyle Carl is dumber about war than Rick.
Oh yeah.
Because at least Rick is like, oh, well, I had to join because I'm on stuck on this spaceship and they need help with combat, but I realize war is wrong, is dangerous. This guy just joined up willy-nilly and's like, oh, I don't really like being a soldier, but I guess I'll go soldier.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, his logic was that he wanted to join up and go to Mars base, which I like. I guess technically, maybe there wasn't a whole lot of fighting there, so he wanted to get away from the global civil war or something.
Maybe.
But it was just funny because, you know, he was like, "Don't tell your father what I'm doing," and she's like, "Okay, I won't tell the admiral." Like she calls her dad the admiral, and but yeah, that was just weird. Like, why wouldn't he want to know? Like,
Right.
why would she not want him to know? Like,
But you
what
would
would happen?
think the admiral would find it admirable that
Going up.
his future son-in-law was a soldier.
Or maybe he doesn't realize that his future like soldier is messing around with his very underage daughter.
Right. Like he's like 28 and his daughter's like 14.
Oh, I think that's thrown out the window
I think you're right.
in Japan. Oh yeah. Yeah, so we're back on Mars on the present of Mars base, and we've got these Zentradi hanging out. There's this one guy that has like a scout ship, and this dude looks like he should have been in like a grunge band. This dude had
Oh.
like the hair, like this shaggy hair, and he's like,
everyone
Hey,
out.
Bree Tai. Found the base, dude. But his name is Chiraro, which just sounds like he was like that was like a nickname that like the dude from like Love Battery or something like that had. He was in like Tree People or something. I don't know.
I once got told by the guy from Love Battery that I was taught walking too whole, slow carrying my guitar. And he specifically said, "This ain't the show, man."
Oh yeah!
Yeah,
Wow.
which I should have been, my feelings should have been hurt, but I really liked that phrase. "This ain't the show, man."
Wow.
Jesus.
He had that accent. He was from Seattle. All right.
Oh, well, no, but the time warps things in.
Oh, fair. No, that's fair. Yeah, no, I
Like,
got you.
time to
Did
fly
you guys
this
play
way.
with? Did you guys play with Love Battery?
My first band, Exit 10's last show was with Love Battery.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And I remember when they played here. I didn't go to that show, but I remember when they played.
Dude, there is a really cool shot of the Destroids coming down the ramp. And it shows scale so well. Was it
Yeah.
the Mark 8?
The what?
Is the Mark 8 the huge one with cannons and stuff?
Well, the Mac 2, the
Mac
monster.
2, yeah. That sucker is giant.
Oh, it's massive, yeah. Like
You see
it's
it
so
with the
big
other
it can't
Destroids.
walk. It has like hover jets in the feet, so it can
Yeah.
it floats across the ground.
It's super cool looking in this.
It is. It's very.
Holy
It's
crap.
very cool. So yeah, they're all lining up and getting ready to kind of defend this base while they're. I guess the plan was the Robotech Defense Force was gonna go into the base and answer that just like distress call, but also like get supplies and such, I guess,
Yeah,
which is okay. That's
it
fine.
can't hurt to have supplies and from the base.
Lisa wants to go check out the base, even though there's no life there. She wants to go check the base out. She's looking for old Carl Reaver, I guess, on the base. But yeah, a little sourpuss is driving a dune buggy
And
around Mars.
also, we have not got a chance to objectify old Sourpuss here, but this outfit is very form-fitting.
It is very.
It is
It's like
like Buck Rogers, Dale Arden form fitting.
Yeah, it
Oh
actually
man,
I
yeah.
got a lot of like Leiji Matsumoto 70s anime girl wearing a spacesuit vibe here.
Oh yeah. There was a whole lot of. Wait a minute. Was Dale Arden was from Flash Gordon, wasn't she?
You're right, Ed. Have
Yeah.
fun being right, Ed.
I can't. Wilma Deering was her name.
Wilma Deering is
Wilma
the
Deering.
correct
Because I was
thing.
like, I
That's
was like, it was Aaron. I was like, it was Aaron Gray, but that was the actress's
Yeah.
name.
No, Erin Gray was the actress's name. Erin Gray, first crush, beat Lois. I mean, beat Lois Lane.
Princess
Beat
Leia.
Princess Leia.
I can see that. I can
Yeah,
see that.
legit. That's a good
Even
one.
though I saw Princess Leia first, Erin Gray was my first crush.
Yeah.
No, I can buy that. I never really bought into the whole concept of having a crush on Princess Leia. At least like before Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I mean, like, because Return of the Jedi, you're like, oh, we were getting older at that point,
Right,
but I mean,
exactly.
like early on, it was like, okay, this is she's, you see her now, and you're like, she's like 19 in that movie, or however
Yeah,
old she was
yeah.
in Star Wars, and you're like, oh, she looks, I don't know, she looks like a mom,
Yeah,
like she
it
looks
is really
nice.
weird that in that first movie, she's sort of portrayed as older than Luke. She's
Yeah,
portrayed as more like Han Solo's age.
and she's a boss. She's bossy too.
She's very bossy.
She's bossy, but
Back
so
to this.
Lisa finds this computer that's turned on and is like, how long has this computer been on? Because it's like cranking out paper. How long has it been doing
How much of that old school like
that?
printer paper did
Matrix
it
printer,
have?
that computer paper with green
Yes.
lines on it,
How
dude.
in all this time did it not get jammed?
Dude.
There is a
Dude.
part in this you walked right past, which I've got to bring up real quick because once
Oh.
again, this broad. Okay, so they're standing out there, and Rick is sitting in this Veritech. He's like, "Oh, I should ask." Radio's Roy. Say, "Hey, Roy, can I get a day off next week?" He's like, "All right, Rick. Everyone's asking off for Min May's birthday." And Rick realizes, "Oh, I wasn't special."
Right.
He realizes that she's already invited the entire squadron before him.
Right.
See, I think that's actually a very underlying theme in Robotech is
Yeah.
that Rick realizing that he's not special to Minmay. That's
Right.
a strong undercurrent. That's like a
We'll
cold
get more
spring.
in this, but the thing I took from this episode is Rick needs therapy.
Oh
He doesn't
yeah.
love himself.
Oh no. Dude, so man, one of Chiron's dudes is just like he this dude is like got the itchy trigger finger and he goes to attack. And Chiron lives up to his nickname, blows this dude up. Just straight up blows him up with a particle beam cannon or something. And
Again, the Chiron ship is just so much more fun.
dude, he's so rad.
Yeah.
However, though, here we also get the first appearance of the Zentradi officer's battle pod.
I
The
love that.
cool,
I've got that somewhere,
great,
actually.
absolute, just top tier of a mech, which a lot of people out there may know as the that was repurposed as the Marauder in BattleTech and MechWarrior.
Yeah.
In fact, well, no, nah, maybe. I mean, I when I had my comic shop, I had one of those for sale in the shop, and a dude came in looking for comics. He was like, "Oh my God, did you have a Marauder?" And I'm like, "No, I have a officer's battle pod. I have a," and he's like, "No, that's a Marauder from BattleTech." And I was like, "Okay, cool, man."
He's
He's
not wrong, but yes.
yeah, and I was like, "Well, hey, he's going to buy it," and I was like, "Well, I have the regular battle pod there too, if you want both of them." And he was like, "Oh, I've never seen that one before." And I'm like, "This dude only knew these from BattleTech, so
Right.
yeah, MechWarrior, so yeah."
Which you think about it, the regular battle pods were like they're like suicide machines. They're with legs, with chicken
Right.
legs. Right.
Well, they did. I don't think that. And you know, I was actually going to pull to do a history lesson on BattleTech on this episode, but I'm a little pressed for time today. But because a lot of Robotech mechs got reused in BattleTech, but I think that the reason they didn't use the regular battle pod was because it doesn't have any arms. And in the tabletop game BattleTech, that's very important because most of your weapons go in the arms. So if you don't have arms, you don't
Yeah.
really. Yeah, you're
You can
kind
upgrade your weapon, arm weapons and that sort of thing,
of.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were exceptions into that in the game, but I mean, I don't think that one fits into the paradigm of it. But this was Chiron's plan was actually good here because they had these gravity mines they had planted that were trying to keep the SDF-1 from taking off, and they're trying to get it back, which is cool, and which is why he kept that dude from attacking because the mines weren't armed. So this is a good plan. It's a nice contrast with like G.I. Joe or like Transformers where like dudes just run in and just like attack and they're like just throwing themselves at people
Right.
at the good guys. This was really cool.
Yeah.
This was a neat thing. So
And Chiron does a good thing here. He's like, look, you got it. Look, dude, if I can wait, you can wait. He's not wrong. Right.
They're bored. They're waiting for this to happen. They're like, I can do it. You can do it. Oh, you look for something?
Oh no, I had to click the thing away.
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely right. This was cool, and then they finally attack, and apparently the RDF loses three whole battle group, the three whole attack group. So they must be down like a ton of mechs at this point because they just
Oh
keep
yeah.
blowing up like crazy. So
Oh, dude, one of the coolest shots though is the officer's battle pod jumping out of the ravine and landing with his frog legs and like with his guns up. It is so cool looking. The animation in this episode is killer. It is so good.
This is definitely before they started farming this out. We haven't really had any stinkers as far as like animation goes
Yeah.
at all. Maybe a scene here or there that was a little like, who cares? But
Like,
like
you know.
the battles and stuff are fantastic because there's some coming up that are like man, no.
Where it does
Doesn't.
seem like with these, and this is the second time I'm going to reference this, but they're like Arthur Adams comics, where they're super detailed and well done up until the last few pages, and then it's like, oh, the deadline's here. I've just got to draw a few figures. And
It's
that's how
just crazy.
Robotech episodes are. The last few minutes are just like, oh, I'm gonna just going to drag this figure across the screen now.
Yeah, and the Zentradi end up looking like potatoes with eyes.
Right.
Dude, the music in this scene though is like it's like some like John Carpenter synths. It's like the Tales from
Yeah.
the Dark Side music here. This was awesome. This was so cool.
It reminded me of like, you know, like a Joy Division deep cut.
It did have, definitely have that kind of no, that's super
That's pretty accurate.
mm.
God,
Yeah, the music in this episode was really great all the way
It was
around.
good, and I hate that. That's one of the things that I complain about with Robotech is that the music and Macross is so much better. But like this was very good across the board. It didn't. I don't think they really fell into the normal motifs they normally do with these. But
No,
so
this is
yeah,
like here in this episode.
Rick smashes a window out and rescues Lisa, who doesn't want to be rescued. She wants to die in the.
Okay, we passed over something here. When he was told to go rescue her, he kind of refused to. He was kind of like, oh, let that
Why
stuck
do
up
I?
lady die. Could
Why do I
somebody
have
else
to?
do that?
Or is like,
Also,
I
a
trust
little
you.
earlier than this, he called her sourpuss again, which was the plot of the whole last episode, was him getting in trouble for that. So he's
Oh, well,
kind of
yeah.
dumb.
Well, yeah, because well, yeah, because he's
Claudia.
on the
Claudia
comms.
calls them.
Yeah, well, he's on the comms with Roy and Claudia, and he's like, "Who's that lady here, Roy? Is that the old sourpuss?" And like, "How are you gonna get in trouble again? Calling your CEO and
Hey,
old
she's like,
comms."
no, she's underneath you right now. Like she's driving a little like moon buggy underneath them.
Got that dune by old swamp buggy.
Yeah, and we sort of grazed over the fact that the MacGuffin here is that she set the base up to explode.
Well, they had to do that so that they could destroy the gravity
Right.
mine.
So when he's breaking out the window, she's basically trying to commit suicide. She's decided she's not leaving.
She's reading Reaver's books.
And like Rick's reaction to that is basically chicks, man. You know, he's like, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm just gonna grab you.
So there's a whole plot that never gets resolved here. The fact that there is someone in this base, and whoever it is in this base dies at this. There's
Right.
someone in there with computers. There's someone in
Whoever
there.
is keeping the printer paper running.
That whoever that was, probably Reber, dies right here.
Well, I mean, they said there were no life forms on the base, so.
Those printers don't run by themselves, though.
No,
They're
but
not like printers
they
today.
jam like crazy too.
Dude, look, man, I work in IT. I know a thing about printers, and that's that I don't like them. And yes, they're constantly jamming, so there's no way
I can
that ever did.
remember printing out things on those kind of printers. You
Oh
just
yeah.
had to have someone manning them.
Yeah.
Someone had to stand there and make sure the teeth stood in line.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
'cause it was
100%.
like you're a machine gun loader in like World War
Right. Oh
II.
yeah. I had one of those printers. So I was like our first computer my dad bought, and yeah, you'd have like a box of paper, and it'd pull it out, and this little teeth run it like a conveyor belt, and you'd have to kind of feed them through there, and those things always came off. You had to like line them up exactly right.
Well,
So there's
Daisy
no
Wheel.
way that it was on the space.
I still sometimes have nightmares about them from one of my earlier jobs. So yeah,
Old people stuff.
so that yeah, that was it. That was Bye Bye Mars.
Well, I mean I mean, we did at the end of this, I think we get the first impression that Rick is attracted to Lisa. And again, this guy just needs therapy. He's torn between an underage narcissist and a suicidal ice queen. This guy does not want to be happy.
Flying
Yeah,
planes make him happy, dude. Flying planes as far as happiness is.
dude, and also Chiron remarks how nuts this whole thing is. I blow into the base just to get them off the planet.
Right.
And he's like, they're insane. And like, dude, it's coming from you.
Right,
Like,
that seems
embrace
like a
that.
plan you would have, Chiron. I've known you for like 11 minutes, and I already think that's a Chiron plan.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So yeah, that was like it was like yeah he takes her and kind of cradles her in his j big battaloid hands and gently takes her to the SDF-1 and rescues her while Mars blows up. It's a tender moment. Yeah, man, the animation fantastic. Chiron's pissed because he lost the fight. And he doesn't ever like losing the fight.
Oh yeah. Best part of the whole episode. I don't like losing fights.
He watches stuff.
Yeah.
No. He's having a Ben Solo moment.
Yeah. He's so upset about it. I love
But
this guy.
yeah, that's it, man. That is Bye Bye Mars. It really
Where are you guys on Bye Bye Mars?
I loved it.
I'll go
Go
first.
ahead.
This is again one that kid brain and adult brain were totally in line with. I don't want to start getting everything five, so I'm gonna give this four. I think they showed Kirby dots in the explosion.
Ooh, they may
You
have.
know, you don't ever really see the Japanese playing much of homage to Kirby, but I swear in the explosion of the base, I thought I saw Kirby dots.
Yeah, maybe
Nice.
so. I'll have to go back and watch it again. Yeah. Evan, where are you at
Yeah,
on?
I'm actually going to give this a five because nothing about this episode was bad. It didn't drag. It was good tactics. It was good and great animation. And Chiron, Chiron attacks is the best because he attacks everybody. 100%.
Right.
This is a straight on banger.
Chiron's already the MVP. One
Oh
episode
yeah.
MVP.
Okay,
He's the
he's so
best part of
good.
the show.
I'm with you, Jehu, on the not wanting to get into like rating inflation on those. But
Like, we don't want to destroy our star system like Dave Meltzer
right,
has.
yeah, because I think, but there's nothing. It was so good, and there's nothing bad about it. But it's
Right.
like it's
All
everything that you
killer, no
want
filler.
in Robotech. Like
Yeah.
everything's there. It's like you get two big fights. You
The
get
drama is there too, which is
the
really,
drama. You get the drama.
yeah.
You get the melodrama. You get the sort of romance. You get like a new character, like a new like boss level character. You get a new mech. And I feel like a lot of things in this could have been stretched out into like multiple episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
This could have been like a
but.
three episode arc.
I think so too. Because the whole thing, like the attrition and all that stuff with the battles, I think is great. Like the whole like kind of spooky like horror thing of like the deserted base that could have
Right.
been its own. You could have done like a big arc on that, and that would have been really cool. So yeah, no, I love this. I absolutely love this episode. And I just because it's the introduction of Chiron, I have to go five because Chiron rules. So I'm gonna have to go five. Hurrah, another year. Surely this one will be better than the last. The inexorable march of progress will lead us all to happiness. This is out of five. So
Finish him. Cool.
I'm already excited for next episode, is I'm sure the episode, like I can just tell, it's the episode where I'm gonna officially hate Minmay.
oh yeah.
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 Her birthday?
It's her
Yeah.
birthday. She turns 16.
I feel like it's gonna be the turn where the singing really starts too.
Oh, it's it's coming.
Yeah.
We got Miss Macross coming up too. You don't want
Right.
that. You don't want that either. So,
Yeah. You want
yeah.
none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
All
you're
right.
not wrong. All right, guys.
All right.
Cool. Fantastic. Thanks for being here, everyone. Checking this out again this week. We will have this up and going, and soon we will venture back to our Transformers roots a little bit. And I have some other ideas coming up. I'll talk to you guys about it later.
Okay.
Y'all take it
I think
easy.
I've already heard them on the internet.
You might have.
I
Y'all have a great week. You want to take us out of here, guys? Anybody?
got nothing.
That's a good way to go out. I've got
Chiron
nothing.
rolls. Bye. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.